All right. Well, thanks to Dr. Gillespie for a very enlightening presentation. And I'd like to introduce our next speaker. I'm going to exercise the moderator's prerogative. I think in your programs, the next speaker is supposed to be Susan Petroni, and that's kind of a special case, which I'll talk about in a minute. But we're going to switch Susanna Denny. We're going to advance her a little bit in the program, and we'll do Susan Petroni next. Susanna Dennis is a research associate at Population Action International. Her primary focus is strengthening and revamping PAI's long-term work on financing population assistance and sexual and reproductive health services, including exploring emerging issues such as aid effectiveness and their impact on reproductive health on funding levels. Susanna's professional background is in tracking development finance from a gender perspective with a focus on multi-development banks such as the World Bank. Suzanne?
Thank you, everyone, and welcome. First, I'd like to acknowledge two of my PAI colleagues, Carolyn Vogel and Elizabeth Leahy, who submitted this abstract before I joined PAI. So they're the reason I'm here. My presentation today is going to focus on emerging funding trends for family planning. And it's basically an overview, so I plan to go over a lot of material, but during the discussion period, which I hope we'll have time for, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask for a clarification. Also, it's important to note that I'll focus on funding, which is essential, but the quality of programs and policies are also important, and some of my previous speakers have spoken to that. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So PAI has a long history of tracking funding for family planning, and the first part of my presentation focuses on this work. The second part of my presentation will look at some emerging issues in financing for family planning. Lastly, I'll offer some concluding thoughts, which actually touch on a lot of what's already been said. So how much money is needed for family planning each year? In the developing world, over 200 million women have an unmet need for effective contraceptives and are at risk of unintended pregnancy. So this number includes women who are not using any method and women who are using a traditional method that has a high failure rate. The International Conference on Population and Development in Cairo in 1994 called for a set of funding targets for population assistance to achieve universal access to family planning, reproductive health, prevent and treat sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV, and fund related basic research. Now, Jason already mentioned this, but I'll just highlight that the international community reaffirmed these goals, of the ICPD goals, with the addition of Target 5B in the monitoring indicator of meeting unmet need for family planning. So the estimated need to achieve universal access to family planning in the developing world in 2005 was $15.6 billion each year. And that number is adjusted for inflation. Of this, donors are supposed to provide one-third, or $5.2 billion, with developing countries and out-of-pocket expenditures making up the remaining two-thirds. These ICPD estimates are clearly outdated from almost 15 years ago, but they're still the best numbers that we have. And Population Action International is collaborating with UNFPA and others to try and update these estimates. So how are we doing? This is just a snapshot of funding for population assistance in 2005. You can see here's family planning, $477 million. Remember the $5.2 billion that donors were supposed to provide. This sort of three-quarters is for HIV mostly and some other STDs. This $477 million makes up 7% of population assistance in 2005. a decade earlier in 1995, donor funding for family planning made up 50% of population assistance and was $723 million in 2005 dollars. So essentially, funding for family planning by donors is declining both as a percentage of population assistance and in real terms. Most, but not all, donor funding for family planning is captured in these numbers. For example, donor funding for a specific sector, like the health sector, that would benefit family planning isn't captured in this figure. And I'll go over some of the trouble tracking donor financing in the next section. Donor support for contraceptive commodities makes up part of assistance for family planning, which PAI has worked on for many years. Adequate funding for contraceptives can help ensure women and men have access to family planning supplies, and using contraceptives is the most direct way that people can control and make choices about their family size. A recent UNFPA report found that donor funding for contraceptives has stagnated at around $210 million since 2001, despite growing need. Globally, there would need to be a scale-up in funding for commodities by $263 million to meet unmet need of the 200 million women. So now let's look at some emerging issues. In 1995, donors in developing countries signed the Paris Declaration on Aid Effectiveness. The goals of the Paris Declaration include improving donor harmonization, predictability of donor funds, and country ownership. The number of donors has grown greatly in recent years, and each donor has different procurement, reporting, monitoring, and evaluation requirements. Donor proliferation and the strain of these requirements places a huge burden on developing and aid recipient countries and undermines their ability to provide services such as family planning by diverting their attention from actual service provision or policies and programs to meeting donor requirements. Also, lack of predictable aid undermines countries' abilities to plan long-term to address essential needs such as family planning. Many donors don't provide any indicator of how much loans or grants they plan to provide to a country beyond a very short time horizon. And less than half of donor aid is dispersed in the year it's set to be dispersed. The Paris Declaration also solidified a push to put countries back in the driver's seat of their own development. With country ownership, governments, in collaboration with civil society, members of the private sector, and donors, are supposed to define their own development priorities through national plans such as poverty reduction strategy papers or PRSPs. Donors are then supposed to support these priorities by funding the government through direct budget support, so that would be money directly to Treasury or the Ministry of Finance, or sector support. In practice, these country ownership is not as clear-cut as it sounds. In some countries, donors are still setting the development agenda. Where there is country ownership, it has often meant central government control with little space for parliamentary oversight and participation on the part of civil society, especially meaningful participation. Within governments, ministries of health are often marginalized in priority setting, with more powerful ministries such as finance or planning really taking the lead. Support for family planning within the country ownership framework has been fairly weak. A World Bank study found that many PRSPs mention family planning policies, but few of these policies are clearly articulated and funded policies are more likely to be implemented. The impact of country ownership and alignment on funding for family planning isn't yet clear. In countries where there's great government support, active support for family planning, country ownership is probably a good thing. But in countries where the government doesn't actively promote family planning, country ownership could result in a decrease in funding for family planning as donors divert funds from projects for family planning to government budgets, and then family planning could get left out. And governments that have historically relied on donor projects to provide family planning services and supplies may not have the logistics systems and the service delivery systems in place to provide family planning services themselves. Karen already talked about vertical funds, which are funds that support a specific theme. And this is another really big financing trend right now. PEPFAR has grown to a $15 million fund. The Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria has also grown dramatically. In its five-year history, the Global Fund has raised nearly $20 billion in commitments through 2010. The problem is not the financial success of these funds, but that they can draw attention and resources away from other sectors such as family planning. There's also research suggesting that poorly designed vertical programs can actually weaken health systems by establishing parallel systems and attracting very talented staff from the public sector. Complex donor funding mechanisms have also led to trouble monitoring funding levels for family planning. Increasingly, donors are either channeling their loans or grants to central governments in budget support, or pooling funds into so-called baskets that are then distributed to the central government, a sector such as health, or a specific project. But in both cases, budget support and basket funds, it's difficult to assess how much of a particular donor's funding went to family planning. Aside from project-specific or earmarked funding, donors may not even have a sense of how much of their loans and grants directly support family planning. Looking forward, we need more research to better understand how innovations like aid effectiveness, country ownership, alignment, budget support, and basket and vertical funds impact funding for family planning. This requires better data on donors and developing countries' expenditures. In terms of advocacy, in the short term, donors should continue to use a mix of funding mechanisms and not just rely on budget support to trickle down to family planning, especially in contexts of weak government support for family planning. Also, as financing decisions are increasingly made at the country level, it's important for global groups to bolster in-country advocacy to help build long-term capacity and support for family planning. There are also a number of strategic opportunities that can be leveraged, such as integrating family planning and HIV/AIDS, highlighting linkages between family planning and the Millennium Development Goals, and addressing security and climate change. So in conclusion, international funding for family planning is on shaky ground, and it faces formidable challenges, but we also have lots of opportunities to take advantage of. Thank you. I covered a lot, so I hope there are some questions. Do we have time?
In the interest of time, I think we can take a question or two if they're short.
No, I bored you all to death.
In the world of certainly insufficient funding, which is what your picture painted, maybe we're not making as effective use as we could. And I wanted to actually, maybe not kind of talk about it now, but maybe Doug could comment on that too, particularly your interest in setting priorities. I imagine that goes to donors, not just to the countries. And whether you're looking at that as part of your advocacy strategy of increasing the effective use of what money we do have from
Well, I'll comment on that briefly. Effective use of funding is very important. One question is, if we achieved funding goals, our funding targets for family planning, would that solve all of our problems? We don't know. That's a hypothetical question. But it raises the point that how money is used is important. One trend that's trying to address that is the aid effectiveness agenda. And so this push really to have countries leading their own development, setting their own priorities, and also increasing use of country systems this is focused on management and procurement systems, but also in the health sector. So trying to strengthen the health system instead of setting up a parallel project, either through a vertical fund or donors setting up their own projects, which are outside of the health system. That's one way donors are trying to address this. But I think we've got a long way to go. And you might raise issues also like corruption, misuse of funds. I mean, we definitely have a long way to go.
Right.
Yeah, I'll just mention quickly that in aid in general, there's a trend of donor darlings. So countries that may not have the highest need but are very popular with donors absorbing the majority of aid, whereas countries with the highest need, and here I'm not talking just about family planning, but generally often get left behind.